Lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. How are we doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to ask you a question off the topic of the SCOTUS, but kind of on the topic of what we're talking about. So if I make up a name like I did of D.F. Fallon, and I attach that to somebody, do I still have to put the words alleged in front of it?
Well, innocent until proven guilty in this country. So, yes, despite all of the statements that have been out there, they've, you know, she's innocent until proven guilty.
But I made it. But
I will say this on this whole issue. And, you know, I think there's a separate issue. I hear talk about due process. And, you know, for lawyers like myself, due process is like a, you know, a religious ideology. There's a difference between due process in her criminal case and whether or not she should remain on her job. There are a lot of people who end up getting put on paid leave while these types of these investigations play out, while some of these trials play out. I don't think she should be voting with the Minnesota Senate, particularly on this bill where whether or not you should be able to defend yourself against a home invader. I'd say she has a conflict of interest.
One more question, getting back to my original question. But I made up a word, D.F. Fallon. That's not really a thing. So do I still have to put allegedly in front of it? Or is the Fallon implied in my made-up word, in which case
the Fallon's implied.
Still implied? So. Okay. All right. See, I'm glad I asked.
If you want to talk, if we want to get a trademark for that, maybe we should talk about that. I don't know. It seems to be a frequently used term these days.
You know what? T-shirts or hat ideas for the Minnesota State Fair later this year. Don't vote for D.F. Fallon's. That's a good.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's good. All right, gonna write that down.
Okay. Done.
All right, let's go here. I was watching, as the show wrapped up yesterday, some of the exchanges, the arguments being made during the Supreme Court regarding the potential for presidential immunity. I actually texted you at the time. It didn't seem like it was going very well, but apparently I didn't watch all of it. And what I was watching, I think, relates to this idea of official versus personal acts of a president. And I think I was catching the personal acts arguments that were being laid out. However, the Supreme Court, it is being said, and you shared this with me from people that would know, say they will narrowly hold the president of the United States and any president is immune from criminal prosecution for official, not personal acts. First question for you, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, because we've been talking about these issues a lot relating to Supreme Court decisions. It seems as if the track record of yourself and experts surrounding the potential Supreme Court decisions has been pretty solid based off of yours and others' reviews of arguments in situations like this. Is that a fairly accurate statement in your mind?
Yeah, and I don't want to give myself too much credit because I rely on, you know, I follow a lot of the various Supreme Court commentators on X, and I, you know, it can be law professors from both sides, it can be, you know, former law clerks to the justices, and so I watched during these oral arguments, you know, I never really watched the oral arguments. I watched the commentary because I want to see where they think this is going and get that insight, and, you know, it's, They do have a very good track record, and you can sort of tell where the justices are leaning based upon their questioning. And this one was pretty interesting yesterday. But yeah, I think that we've got a sense that they're going to come out and say that the president does have immunity for official acts. Now, as it pertains to this to Donald Trump, I don't think that means they're going to rule immediately on whether or not some of the things he was doing constitutes official acts. I think they're going to remand the case back to the district court, which had the original ruling, which originally threw out the idea of immunity, right? And then it got appealed, and then it got appealed again to the Supreme Court. So there's going to be an evidentiary hearing next on what were official acts, and that will be appealable, and then that to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and then that'll be appealable to the Supreme Court again. So the practical effect of this decision, it's going to delay the trial in the Jack Smith January 6th case if they come out, even with limited immunity. it will delay it. In my opinion, it will delay it past the election.
Yeah, I mean, and if that's the case, looking at the timeline, because I was reading here that essentially the Supreme Court would probably need to get it back in their hands and rule by like June 1st for the trial to be able to be conducted prior to the election. And even if that occurred, my understanding was that that ruling would come after voting is already started. But more than likely, even if it got back to the Supreme Court, as you said, after it was sent back down to the D.C. Obama-appointed judge for the evidentiary hearing, they more than likely wouldn't be able to rule on it until late June, which again would put it well past, you know, having an impact or, you know, any sort of result prior to the election. Does that timeline seem right to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, they're not going to have this decision likely until June. And so then at that point, then you have to go back and have this evidentiary hearing and then that's appealable. So yeah, I don't know if they, and this is the Supreme Court that doesn't like to fast track things. They are not a fan of granting emergency relief. They usually like to just kind of slow roll everything on their regular calendar. I think that's the reasonable timeline, John.
Well, and I mean, this Supreme Court too has been, and I'm probably going to word this wrong, and you can, you know, feel free to correct me, but you know, in terms of the political nature and the impact of decisions like this, it seems as if they've been very leery of wanting to lean in one way or the other where it could have a larger impact on issues of the day. And I bring that up because they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, you know, if this starts moving quickly to get back to them, you know, they kind of have a choice here. Do they act as if they normally do, or do they fast track it? And could that be viewed as them trying to fast track it because they know it's going to have an impact on the election? It just seems like the Supreme Court's in a really bad spot right now.
Yeah, I think they're trying to stay out of it as much as possible. They've, you know, even going back to the cases that Trump brought in 2020 after the election, they largely stayed out of those decisions too. They are, and I think that someone asked me about Justice Barrett and why she may end up voting with the more liberal bloc. And remember, she made the comment in it was in one of the decisions here this year about trying to take the temperature down on, you know, on the country politically with some of these decisions. And that may affect, you know, her decision in this. She may see this as such a politically charged issue because of it has its impact on this election that she doesn't want to, you know, play into that. I don't know. They definitely are trying. They are doing their best, in my opinion, to try to not be a factor in political issues.
And this has, and this has the potential to also substantially affect the Fannie Willis case out of Georgia as well. Does the same sort of timeline in terms of rulings apply here relating to that to that case? Do you know?
Yeah, it would again. You'd apply this ruling to that decision, and yeah, you probably have an evidentiary hearing there to determine what were official acts and what were not. So yes. Here's for those that are, you know, who's got the bingo card out trying to, you know, or the score sheet trying to figure out, you know, we've got five different cases involving Donald Trump right now. We've got the January 6th case, the Jack Smith one, and the Fannie Willis down in Georgia. Those would have be impacted by this ruling. The Jack Smith January 6th case is also impacted by whatever they decide on the obstructing the official proceeding case, the one we talked about last time, right? So there's a chance that he might end up with 20% of his case left over with, and hers may be out too. The records case, about the records that he had at Mar-a-Lago, that's a Jack Smith case. That one could definitely have impact under, you know, if it's found that these were official acts, why he had those documents, right? So, and then you've got the two New York cases, which are outliers because they wouldn't be impacted by this. But I think, you know, I think it's kind of commonly accepted that that at some point that civil case is being overturned on appeal, the fraud case, and this criminal trial. I think every day that it goes by, I think people are less you're seeing now what happens when you bring a novel legal theory to criminal court. I don't know that he's going to get acquitted,
right.
But I think that be a hung jury and a mistrial on that one. So, the impact of this, what they decide, if they decide limited immunity, it probably gets across the finish line for the election. And should he win, I would say about 5 minutes after he's sworn in on January 20th, yeah. Jack's going to be looking for work.
So let's get into just a little bit of this, talking with our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Some of the questions posed during Thursday's arguments, they were probing hypothetical examples of presidential wrongdoing, selling nuclear secrets, ordering a coup, a political assassination, or taking a bribe. Some of the conservative justices voiced concern about presidents lacking any level of immunity, including for less obvious egregious acts. Before I go further on this, there's a talkback question for you relating to this very thing.
Good morning, guys. I have a question for the lawyer extraordinaire. Under Obama, he ordered a missile strike on a person that was declared a terrorist who was a U.S. citizen, and he was killed by a drone strike. Now, did that person as an American citizen not have the right to due process, and should Obama be exempt from prosecution on that? Because the person did not get his day in court.
Now, to that, just really quick, Trump's lawyer, Sawyer, raised three hypothetical examples of past presidents being charged for official actions taken as president. He asked whether George W. Bush could be prosecuted for obstructing an official proceeding for allegedly lying to Congress to justify the Iraq War, what he just mentioned, Barack Obama charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad with drone strikes, or Biden charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally based off his broader policies. Sawyer said the answer to all these questions is no, but your thoughts, Jeff O'Brien, on that line of questioning?
Well, I'm one of those, John. I think you have to look, if you're talking about, you know, the acts of a president while in office in relation to criminal prosecution, after the fact, I don't think you can discount the impeachment factor here. You know, the impeachment, impeachment proceedings is the Congress, the House and the Senate determining whether the president committed high crimes and misdemeanors, right? I think there has to be, my opinion is, if you're talking about prosecuting for official acts, I think there does have to be, you know, you have to have the Congress weigh in on impeachment first, and then there could be, you know, further proceedings in, you know, your typical court. And that's why I think for things like, I heard the part when they were talking about should President Obama be prosecuted for a drone strike that hit hit civilians, right? And, you know, you think about it, it's like, well, no, that seems kind of academic, but that's the kind of the hair splitting we're getting into,
yeah.
When former presidents are being charged with criminal acts based on things that they did while they were in office. And so I think, to me, I think the impeachment proceeding is a good gatekeeper as to whether or not, you know, if it's something is so bad that the House would impeach and the Senate would convict, then I think you've got a clear line as to it's fair game to have further prosecution on this.
Well, I know that's what Trump's lawyer was saying over and over again regarding these particular cases. It's like, if he hasn't been in, you know, he says, you get to Sawyer responded talking about structured as an official act. So liberal Justice Elena Kagan pressured Sawyer on hypothetical scenarios to get his response on whether they would be an official act that would be immune from prosecution under Trump's claim. Kagan asked, if a president sells nuclear secrets to a foreign adversary, was that immune? And Sawyer responded that if it is structured as an official act, the president could not be prosecuted unless he is first impeached, as you were saying, and removed from Congress. Kagan then asked Sawyer, what about if a president orders the military to stage a coup? He says that may very well be an official act, meaning no prosecution without impeachment and removal first. Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked if a president could get immunity if he ordered someone to assassinate a political rival. Roberts raised an example of a president appointing an ambassador in exchange for a bribe. Somebody says, I give you $1 million if I made the ambassador to whatever, Roberts said. Sawyer responded that bribery is not an official act, but rather a private act that would not be prosecuted. Roberts then responded, accepting the bribe isn't an official act, but appointing an ambassador is certainly within the official responsibilities of the president. And I'll make one more comment on here, Jeff, and that is, I think all of what I just stated circles back around and is summed up pretty well by conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch during the argument, saying we're writing a rule for the ages. I mean, there's a lot of implications that are going to come out regarding this beyond, you know, what this means for Trump, his prosecution and electoral chances.
Absolutely. No, this is actually it's some of these things have been good to clarify the Fisher case. And now this one, we're going to have some good stuff out of this court in terms of some pretty important things. And we still have the other, I forget what the name of the case is, the Chevron deference, the bureaucrats, the regulatory agencies. This is going to be a very important term for this court.
Have you been, just before we let you go, Jeff, just curious on the hush money trial in New York. Have you been following this at all? I mean, it seems at this point like really, I mean, this is the one that kicked everything off that, in my view, really, you know, gave the, you know, sent out the go word to these other larger issues that we've been talking about this morning. I'm just curious if you've been following this along and you have any thoughts you wanted to share.
I have. Like, when it started, I was one of those that said, he's going to get convicted just because you're bringing this case in Manhattan. I don't think, you know, with the jury pool, I don't think he has a chance, right? But this case, we're seeing it. There's a reason why by the previous DA didn't bring it, why DOJ didn't bring it. This case is garbage. You know, the idea that the fraud that was committed to get this to a felony was influencing the 2016 election. I mean, that's literally what we're getting at here, right? I mean, it's bizarre that there's prosecutions going on for people that claimed that the 2020 election was stolen, but we've got the former president on trial by this DA that thinks that the 2016 election was stolen.
Yeah.
I think there's a very good I think there is a slim chance that he is acquitted, but I think there is a greater chance that it results in a hung jury and a mistrial.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, thank you as always for your insights and expertise, and we'll certainly be talking to you again really soon. I hope you have a great weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.